Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Ooh, okay, you take a seat. Great, so good to be here. This is the first time I've worn a suit in Hope City, Liverpool, and also in church for, except for last week, in church for, I'm going to say 15 years. Back in the days, Pentecostal ministers used to always wear suits, right? And all the charismatics wore jeans, right? And then all the Pentecostals caught up with it, started wearing jeans, right? And I thought, hang on a second, I'm going to turn back to wearing suits. I'm going to start looking smart again. And this is my celebration suit. And I think when something good happens in your life, you got to celebrate it. And there's great things happening in my life and Jen's life. So I went and bought a suit. This is no ordinary Primark suit, you know. This is a boss suit. This is paying extra money for not much difference, really, except this is a celebration suit. And sometimes when you're sad, you know, you cry and you talk about it and that. But when you're happy, often you don't celebrate. And when you're happy, it's time to get a suit, get a tattoo, get a new hairstyle, just go out for dinner. Do something special in your life. And so this is my special outfit, which I put on specially. Jen said, a little bit overboard for Liverpool. I said, Jen, it's going to work like a charm. Well, so good to see you. So good to see all of you. And this is exciting, isn't it? What's happening in Hope City, Liverpool. Great. Brilliant. Just looking around and seeing a lot of people I don't know. And a lot of people I do know, but it's great to be here. I drop in every now and again, but I'm spending a lot of time with Lisa and Dave, and just tracking the movements of Hope City Liverpool. Do you know that 75% of success is just turning up? It's just being in the right place at the right time. You don't need to be fancy. You don't actually need to be gifted. You know, a lot of super gifted people in the world. You look at television presenters, you look at people that make it who are celebrities that have no talent. Have they? Some have no talent. You look at Mel B. it should be more amens than that. You know, but they just were in the right place at the right time. And I want to say to every one of you here in Hope City Church that your future is exactly the same. Being in the right place at the right time, just turning up. God's promises over every one of you are ticking down right now. You're closer to the outpouring of every promise in your life coming true. You're a day closer now. And we ought to be excited about it. And you just need to be in the right place at the right time where God pours out his blessing and you'll have great success in life. And so the key to life is to be unstoppable. And I would say, I want to congratulate you know, so many of you here in Hope City Church, you're just unstoppable. Just, you have just, when you got knocked down, you got up again. It is amazing. Sometimes I'm amazed at the bounce factor in my life. I'm thinking I should be down, but I'm up. I think, why am I up? Well, I should be down. And I think it's because, Dave, you're unstoppable. There's an unstoppable spirit in the church. There's an unstoppable spirit that's part of the nature and character of the kingdom of God. Don't be surprised if you're down today, if you're up again tomorrow. Because you're unstoppable. Because God's putting most of his effort, not into you getting faith, but into you keeping the faith. Because if you can keep the faith, you'll find yourself in the right place at the right time, the right person, for the right outpouring of the Spirit of God. You're just turning up if you stay unstoppable. So stuff's tried to stop you, but it hasn't been able to stop you. I'll tell you why. It's because you're unstoppable. You know that the devil has tried to pull you down, tried to put roadblocks in your pathway, but it hasn't worked. Because you're unstoppable. And because you're unstoppable, God's created a momentum within you that even your mountains have become just like speed bumps to the Spirit of God. They should stop you, but they don't stop you. Even your fears that should stop you have just become like stepping stones. I'm amazed at the Christian experience. I'm amazed at the indelibleness of it. I'm amazed at the unstoppableness of it. And it's the same with you. Something is inside you that will not let you quit. You tried to quit. You told people I'm going to quit, but you didn't quit because there's something inside of you that stops you from quitting. It's the spirit of the unstoppable kingdom of God inside you. It's inside you. It won't let you quit. It won't let you stop. Won't let you give in. That's why you're here today. All power to God. He just wants to get you at point X at the time of point Y. He just wants to get you in the right place at the right time for His Spirit to be poured out and His promises to be poured out within your life. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians. I had a list then. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 58, right? It says, be steadfast and be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, because nothing you do is a waste of time. Everything you do counts. You're not an added extra in God's program in the 21st century. You're an essential player in it. You are here to make a difference. Everything you do counts. Nothing you do is in vain. And because everything you do counts, the Bible says, be unstoppable. Because everything you do counts. Because you're living life to make a difference. This is Bill Hybels' favorite scripture. He's pastor of a church of 50,000 people. It doesn't matter how much success you have in your life, you can still feel like, what difference do I make? But you make all the difference. The Bible says that nothing you do is in vain. And because you make all the difference, be steadfast, be immovable. That's the whiz kids going on in the back there. They decided to crack light bulbs. You know, just it's so enjoyable dropping light bulbs on the ground. You know, they're having a good time. A bit bloody when they come out, but they've had a good time. You know, it's the main thing. Be steadfast. You're steadfast. You're immovable. You're unstoppable. You're abounding in the work of the Lord. Something in you that's volcanic. You can't hold it down because everything you do counts. I'll just say it again. You make a difference. You make a difference. The Bible says David served his generation. When he had done that, he then fell asleep. While you're alive, there's a purpose. And your purpose is to make a difference. And if it's to make a difference, because it's by the power of the Spirit of God, you just need to turn up. How do you turn up? By being immovable. Not moving to the left. Not moving to the right. Not being pushed to the side. Not dodging mountains, not dodging difficulties, but being unstoppable. There's a spirit of unstoppable in Hope City Church right now. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water, not creeks. Shall flow rivers, not swamps, not lakes, but rivers. Shall flow rivers, unstoppable rivers from your innermost being. It's prophesied that whoever believes in me, within you shall flow.
You're not born to be a swamp. You're not born to be filled with algae. You're born to be a flowing, moving, unstoppable river that Jesus has caused to start where the throne of God is, and it's in your heart. Now, two things about this river. It's making its way back to eternity. It's like a moth to a flame. It knows that it's born in eternity, and it's making its way back to the shores of eternity. The river leaves your heart. It leaves the throne of God. If you're born again, the throne of God is in your heart. It's leaving it. It's going back to the shores of eternity. But on its way, it touches the seas of humanity. That's where you make a difference, because on its way, it's here to turn the salty waters of the world to the fresh waters of faith. You're here to make a difference. On your way back to heaven, you're here to change the seas of humanity with the river of faith. This is your day. It's not the day for the Simon Cowles. It's the day for the Hope City churches to rise up and realize there is a river. It's flowing from the throne of God. It's flowing back to eternity. But on its way, it's touching the seas of humanity. Am I preaching too strong for you so early? I haven't even told you about my travels in Frankfurt last week. Very enjoyable with Hope City Church in Frankfurt. There's hired an office floor, ground floor in the red light district in Frankfurt. And it is just absolutely amazing. Incredible what they're doing in Hope City, Frankfurt. Siobhan and Steve are just great leaders. The team is brilliant. The band's sounding great. The pastoral care is excellent. And so good things are happening in Frankfurt. But I'm going back to my notes right now. I'll tell the next lot good things are happening in Hope City, Liverpool, because look at all of us here crammed into this room, hey? The bigger the river, the greater the impact. The bigger the river, the more unstoppable it becomes. The bigger the flow, the further it goes. I'm not going to start rapping. The more unstoppable you become, the more irresistible you are. The world cannot resist an unstoppable person. The bigger you grow, the more it flows into the sea. Here's some things about the river. Number one, and I never give points. What you've got is living water. It's not ordinary. It's supernatural. It's not dead. It's alive. It's living water. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, everybody who drinks the water of this well, the water of the world, the water of the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, a river welling up to eternal life. So there's the water of the world that's salty. You're going to thirst again. And there's the water of life that's flowing through you right now that quenches every thirst, and it wells up to eternal life and passes through the sea of humanity. Story time. When I went to university to study civil engineering last century, we'll leave it there. Or more accurately, when I visit the civil engineering department from time to time. Usually past lunchtime. On my way to the photocopying machine to photocopy everybody else's lecture notes. My eyes were firmly fixed on the party life. No need to go to clubs. The residential college I lived in was one great big club. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I wanted in. I was repressed. I went to an all-boys school. I was kicking out from years of rejection. And I was ready to bang the party drum with an insatiable need for love, acceptance, and celebration. I was a dangerous Ebola-like concoction. Deadly. My big break came at the beginning of second year, where I teamed up with the most popular guy in first year to perform a song in a talent contest. I played the bass. I'd never played bass before. He played the guitar. We did this 3-minute song in our pajamas. It was such a success that it catapulted me into Party Central. At the end of that year, he and me and 4 others got evicted. My conclusions. Number one, the further and deeper I went into the waters of the world, the emptier my life became. Number two, the rivers of this world promised much but gave little. They dried up at all the wrong times. Number three, relationally, I left a trail of destruction. Personally, I left a trail of devastation. Fourthly, and finally, I realized the world is smoke and mirrors. And it's filled with victims who propagate the lie that the world will give you a satisfying good time. The other side of Taylor Swift is nothing. The other side of Cheryl Cole, with a new surname that no one can pronounce, is nothing. The other side of Richard Branson is nothing. The other side of Mo Farah is nothing. Because the other side of the world is absolutely empty. There's nothing there. It says there's everything there, but there's nothing there. It's completely void of everything. I stood on the pinnacle of partying, and I looked around thinking this ought to be fulfilling me, but it seemed to me it was just smoke and it was just mirrors, that the world had lied to me. It was exactly how Jesus had described in John chapter 4, that the waters of the world, you'll continue to be thirsty, but if you drink of the waters of Christ, you'll never thirst again. Christ is here to give you life in all of its fullness, but the world in all of its emptiness. I'll tell you something I did just at a party before I got saved, I think. There was some marijuana at a party, and people were sitting around in a circle passing around a bong. And I was prepared for this, right? Because I'd been into the kitchen and I got my utensils ready, right? And so I got myself some alfoil, right? And I got some Yorkshire tea. And so when the bong was coming round to me, right, it was passed to me. I did a little dynamo magician act, right? I took out what was in it and I put in the Yorkshire tea and lit it up. I proceeded to pass it to the next guy, and then I evacuated from the circle. I saw the guy an hour later. I said, "How was the stuff, man?" He said, "It was awesome." Then I realized that the world lies. That when you ask someone how good their weekend was, they're going to lie to you. Because when I was there, it was never as good as it was advertised. And so much so, you then proceed to the next weekend, thinking the next weekend's better. But it's never as advertised, because it never satisfies, because it's not there. There's nothing there. The promise is vacuous. The world promises great things, but delivers nothing except for destruction. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give life in all of its fullness. Sometimes, church, you're like a fish in water. You don't realize you're wet, but you're wet. You don't realize this life that you're living is an extraordinary life. You need to get a celebration suit like mine and remind yourself, this is good living. This is much better than the world we used to live in. There's no smoke here. It's transparent life. It's the goodness of God direct into our hearts, and it is incredible. It's time you got that tattoo. It's time you took your wife out to dinner. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father but by Him. So all I can say is stop being so Google-eyed at the world. Stop being Google-eyed in our celebrity culture with celebrity stars who behind the scenes of the Chris Martins is dead as a dodo. And we expect it to be filled and brimming with life where marriages last forever. But the world is filled with smoke and mirrors. So stop being Google-eyed over the world in which we live. You want to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. You want to fix your eyes on the river flowing from your heart into the seas of humanity and not vice versa. The seas are trying to get into your heart, but your heart is trying to get into the seas. The world's trying to make the fresh water salty, but you're here to try and make the salty water fresh. It's living water and it's fresh water. The prophet Ezekiel had a vision of you in chapter 47 of the book of Ezekiel. He had a vision of you. It's just a vision, but it was a vision of you. And he said this in verse 8 to 10, that this water flows from you toward the eastern region and goes down toward the Arabah, where it enters the sea of humanity. When it enters the sea of humanity, the water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There'll be large numbers, thank you, of fish. Couldn't read my writing. It's like doctor's handwriting. It's unbelievably messy. I can't believe I don't use an iPad or something like that. Et cetera, et cetera. It makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything becomes alive. Wow, that's good enough for me. And so we're pushing back the waters of the world with a river of faith. I love that. I love that. Our intention is to see people get saved out of destruction, out of a highway to hell, and deposit them on a freeway to heaven. This is your mission. This is your aim, to turn salty waters fresh. This is what you're born for, so that swarms of living creatures gather around you. You might get persecuted, but you're still born to gather people by the attractiveness of the fresh water. It's transparent, it's living, it's alive, it's bubbling up. It's incredible, the spirit out of you that flows out through words, through attitudes, and through works. It's so attractive to the dead world. They're thinking, what makes you alive? And as they experience the water, they too shall get saved. Salty water doesn't quench thirst, it makes you thirstier. Every weekend I spent partying, I got more thirsty rather than less thirsty. And I'll say this to people with a lot of money in this room, if you're worldly, whatever money you have is never enough. Whatever you own is never enough. If you're worldly, even your partner is never enough, because the world makes you thirsty. You'd hope that the world would be faithful. You'd hope that everything is just a magical world out there, but it's not, because the more people drink of this stuff, the thirstier the world gets. So nothing is as good as they say. And they're always thinking next weekend will be better. But we're smart. We know for them next weekend will never be better. It'll never be better. So even if you meet Miss Universe, it'll still never be better. You'll still find fault with her because the spirit of the world finds fault with everything and makes you eternally dissatisfied. I say this to the students here, that there's always, in every student union, there's always saltwater sellers. I'm not talking about victims. I'm not talking about victims who propagate salt water. I'm talking about the salt water sellers. I'm talking about dangerous liaisons, people whose sole intention is to get you drunk, whose sole intention is to lose your virginity, whose sole intention is to bed you. They are salt water sellers. When they smell innocence, they want to rob you of their innocence. There is one in every crowd. There's two at every party. There's 20 at every student union gig who are attracted to innocence because they themselves are guilty. They're sellers of salt water, not just passers of it, but they're sellers of it. Evil people whose entire assignment is to break your resolve one bolt at a time. They'll give you an invitation exactly the same night as Connect Groups. When you're meant to be getting together with a group of freshwater people, they'll give you an invitation exactly the same time because they want to ruin you one bolt at a time. They want to destroy your life. They want you to lose 5 years. They want you to lose 10 years out of 70 years. They want you to lose 15% of your life and never recover from it. They want you to lose the rest of your life. They want to steer you on a course of destruction. They want to rob you. So I just want to say two things to you. Number one, don't overrate your faith. One of you versus one of them is a dangerous combination. Stop trying to witness to them. Your job is not to witness to the sellers. Your job is to witness to the victims. It's not your job to think, I'm going to find the hardest, toughest, meanest drug seller around this place and I'm going to convert them. I suggest you stay away from them because they're very clued up on how to convert you and how to pull you down from your high faith into the lowlands of doubt. They're very good at it. And I suggest stop overrating yourself, thinking you're much more highly than you actually are. You and Jesus are tender. And you need to be always in a herd, always in the midst of fresh water to stay strong. So never go and try and convert the ringleader. Convert everybody else who's in the ring, but not the ringleader. I was going to say something about the Islamic faith then. I thought maybe I won't, but I'll just say it anyway. It's not my job to evangelize the people in charge of ISIS, the people in charge of Al-Qaeda. It's God's job to evangelize them. And I would just suggest that some of those people are actually going to get converted. They're going to see writing on the wall. The Spirit of God is going to knock them off their tank. And he's going to say, hey, who are you serving? I am the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other God. And they're going to repent the same as Paul repented. And he wrote half of the New Testament. A terrorist against the Church of God who wrote half of the New Testament. That's going to happen. But you want to leave those people to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who can convert anybody at any time. And I predict a Middle East revival through an ISIS member who gets saved and starts to create his own river of life and starts to convert people away from the religion of Christianity to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So secondly, you need to hang around freshwater people. That's why God invented the church. You can't do this on your own. That's why when people are isolated, when people don't come to church, Dave and Lisa are worried. We're worried for you because we know you can't do this on your own. And so when you disappear and we say, where's so-and-so? Well, they decided to take a couple of weeks off and 3 or 4 weeks off. Listen, you're overrating yourself. I'll prophesy, you can't do it alone. You can't do it by yourself. You need freshwater people to gather around you. The world is very sinister. It works in insidious ways, principally through the process of erosion. You can't see it happening, but the Bible says make sure you don't drift away on your salvation. If ever you swim in Australian seas, it's easy to drift with the tide. Before you know it, you put your head up, you're a mile away from the flags, and you never realized a thing. And so you need to be very careful with the way you live. It's time to let the river flow, to be steadfast, be immovable, be unstoppable, abound in God's work, because all that you do counts. It's time to be a world changer. Don't let the world change you. I've got my last point coming up. How am I doing so far? Have an ad break. Turn to the person next to you and just describe how good the preaching is today in your own words. Just use some adjectives, some verbs that you think this is remarkable. I just heard that word remarkable coming from the left-hand side. Just incredible preaching. Haven't heard the like since Dave preached last week. I just heard that. Oh, so good being a Christian. It is so good. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. It's a brilliant life. It's a great life. Even in your darkest moments, you know that daytime's coming. Even when you're crying your eyes out, bawling your eyes out at things that haven't worked, you just know there's the dawning of a new day. You just know it. Even when you're crying, you're facing east. You're facing where the sun rises, knowing in the deep depths of your heart, the sun never fails to rise. God is, his faithfulness reaches to the skies. It's got binoculars. It sees beyond the mountains and sees the endless promises of God that he has for your life. You might be faithless at times, but God is completely faithful. And it's upon that that we put our trust. He's a remarkable God. But you know that. I'm speaking to the choir here. I had to go out in the foyer there. But you know that, but I know the process of erosion. You think the world has it all together. You know, but you just need to see Gogglebox to realize it doesn't. Or EastEnders or Coronation Street. Or your history. Here's my last point, right? It's to do with the bigger the river, the more unstoppable you become. This river is fresh. This river is living. And this river is big. This is what Ezekiel prophesied about your life in 47 verse 5. He said, it was like a river Well, first of all, he said, I went into the river, it was ankle deep. Then he said, I went a bit further, it was knee deep. Then he said, I went a bit further and it was waist deep. So this is the river getting deeper. And then he says in verse 5, this river, I couldn't even cross it because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. So this river that started off shallow just got deeper and deeper and deeper. It's prophesying about you that you're going to get more and more unstoppable. Because the deeper, the wider the river, the more unstoppable the river is. Coming from Australia, whenever it rained, every 10-year-old, every 6-year-old used to sit in the gutters and try and block the water up. It used to pour down, just real rain, not like British rain, but real rain, just pouring down. And we tried to block, and you could block a gutter up. A roadside gut. You could block it up for about 30 seconds or so. But I made it my aim to try and block up every creek, block up every stream that I saw, you know. But I realized the bigger and the deeper it got, the more impossible it got. And it's the same with you. The deeper and the wider you get, the more impossible it is for the devil to stop you. And so that's why God's on a mission to make you deep and wide. You know, God wants you to be not an intermittent stream. He wants you to be like the Nile. He wants you to be like the Ganges. He wants you to be Amazonic. You can't dam the Amazon. You can't dam the Nile. You can't dam the Ganges because they're too big. They're too big. And the bigger you are, the more unstoppable you become. The devil might try and throw some boulders of discouragement, but it can't stop you because you're big, you're deep and you're wide. You've got what we call momentum. The more momentum you've got, the more unstoppable you become. When you've got momentum, it's created by depth times width times velocity. And so God's trying to create within your life greater depth. He's trying to create greater width, and he's trying to create greater velocity in your life. Because his purpose is to increase your momentum, to make you unstoppable. So you get to your destination quicker rather than longer. So God makes you deeper by speaking to you time and time again about the same thing over and over again. But every time God speaks to you, you get a little bit deeper. You get a deeper revelation of Jehovah Jireh, your provider. But you think, I'm going around the mountain one more time. Why am I still in Y2? Well, you're not in Y2. You're now in Y10. It's just that God's making you deeper. Same revelation. God will provide. He's saying it again to you. God will provide. He said it to you 10 years ago. He said it to you 10 months ago. And he's saying it to you today to make you deeper. Because the deeper you are, the more unstoppable you become. So you're not still in Y2. You're actually in Y10. Some of you are in university. Some of you are doing a master's degree in Jehovah Jireh, your provider. It seems to be the same theme, but it's deeper. It's stronger. You're deeper now than you've ever been in the whole of your history. Because you've got to be deep in order to be unstoppable. But what I've learned with some people I've met is they're incredibly deep but not very wide. And so a canyon is quite easy to dam up. That's where you build a dam, in a canyon. So you don't just want to be deep. Wow, I just know God and I spend all my time meditating upon the scriptures. You want to be deep but not just deep. You want to be wide. And so what God does is when you're deep, you're outside of your comfort zone. When you're wide, you're outside of your strength zone. And so whenever God does things that are not you, whenever God gets you to do things that aren't your gift mix, that aren't your strength mix, he's trying to widen you. An axe isn't strong just because of the cutting edge. It's strong because of the cutting edge and the wedge of strength. The wedge provides the momentum. And it's the same with your life. Some of you think, I don't want to do it. It's just not me. It's not you. But how can God bring the anointing? How can God make you wider except for getting you to do things that aren't you? And when you do them, you'll find for some of you, you'll find this is actually you. It's just the you that you thought was you was the historic you, the one defined by environment, defined by people's psychological profile of you, the one that's squeezed into other people's molds. The fact is that you don't really know who you are. And if you have done a personality survey, the weakness in it is you did it. And because you did it, you swayed it. According to the person who you thought that you were. You're not who you think you are. God wants to take you out of your strength zone, out of who you are, into doing things that aren't quite you. And you'll find that God's anointing will come upon you. You'll find that God will strengthen you. And you'll find even the weakest areas in your life will rise up to become, if anything, become strong within your life or average within your life. But they'll give you a width that you never had before. Width isn't always depth, you know. At the side of a river, it's quite shallow, it's quite weak, but it's still part of the river. Usually a riverbank runs down into depth, but the sides of it might. And so sometimes you don't have to be brilliant at everything you do. Some of you who are perfectionists in the room think, oh, well, I'm not going to be brilliant at that, so I'm not going to do it. Well, that's your fault because you're a perfectionist. You're a melancholic perfectionist. You need to do some things that are average. You need to do some things that are pretty good. Instead of doing everything brilliantly. Some of you are cursed by your own brilliance and you won't step out your brilliant zone. And so you're like the cutting edge of an axe with no axe, which is just a Gillette razor. And if you've ever been through airports, Gillette razors are the one thing they will let you take. Because they buckle when you try to kill someone with them. Never take an axe through. I tried. You can take a razor through. See that? Some of you have buckled lately. You buckled under pressure. It's because you're a Gillette. And God brought me along today to say, come on, Hope City Liverpool. Your destiny isn't to be thin. It's not to buckle. It's not you. It's not your destiny. That's why you're here today. You think, oh, it's not me. Buckling under pressure. That's not me. No, it's not you. It's not you. So this is a year of God deepening you. I'm your strength.
I am your champion. I am for you. I'm your provider. I'm your life source. I'm your life giver. I'm your satisfaction. I'm your peace. I'm the one who fights for you. And at the edge of the river, I'll be with you. You and me can do this. Might need a little bit of training, but we can do this together. Some of you who aren't in the job that you want to be in, sometimes it's because God's trying to stretch you and make you wider. I learned so much at school, it was a complete and utter waste of time. In Y10, I learned about cosine. In Y9, I learned Pythagoras' theorem. I've got to say, the Pythagoras' theorem has marginally helped me out in life. Not. If you study for a course, and I'd say any course that you study for, 4/5 of it is completely and utterly worthless. But the reason why they do it is to make you wide. Because often in life, you can't just be a brain surgeon. It's all I know is about the brain for the rest of your life. Because often life does curve a bit. And often life requires you to know a little bit more about the human body than just about the brain. So you could actually become a brain surgeon in approximately 8.5 months if you cut out everything else. But I wouldn't see him. Because if something else went wrong during the operation, they wouldn't know how to deal with it. And life is a lot more varied than just your strength zone. Momentum is depth times width times velocity. I'll just say this about velocity. The quicker you hear the word of God, put it into practice, that's your velocity. And so last year, if you heard the word of God, 3 months later you did it, that's your speed. So this year, if you hear the word of God today and you do it in 2 weeks' time, you're getting faster. Your aim is to do it almost immediately. Have a bit of a chat about it, then do it. Because the quicker you hear God's word and put it into practice, the faster you get. The faster you get. Listen, lastly, the more it's raining on your mountains, there's trouble brewing. There's trouble ahead. There's clouds congregating, black clouds over your mountains. The quicker you convert the rain of your trouble to the river of faith, the faster you'll go. The more you stop that rain going down the bleak side of the hill into lakes of depression, into algaed waters of rejection. And the more you stop saying, rain, come this way, where God turns my trouble into triumph every time, come this way. The quicker you call the rain, process the rain and attach God's promises to it and convert rain into river, the more unstoppable you become. There's lakes in your life. You need to dig a channel out of that lake and create a river out of it. The purpose of trouble is to enlarge you. Either life is good or all things work together for good. Why? Because God is good. And so I can't stop the rain. There's rain falling today on my mountains of trouble. I don't care. I don't care. Because I built little gullyways down the side of the mountain. The rain knows where it's meant to go. It's meant to go down the gully into the river of faith. It's producing momentum. It's producing strength. It's beautiful fresh water once you convert it. And it's heading toward the seas of humanity. I'm an unstoppable force for God, but I'm on my way back to the shores of eternity. Father, make them stronger. Help them know how strong they actually are. You're unstoppable. You're remarkable. Even now, there's like God's,
you know, bringing his Spitfires and he's doing some dam busting. Even as I'm speaking, all the dams that Satan's blocked up and created in your life right now starting to flow again. Starting to flow again. Why? Huh? You're unstoppable. It's your birthright. It's who you are. Come on, Liverpool. It's who you are. Completely unstoppable. Father, from the back to the front, from the back to the front, I pray, God, give people a revelation that the promises of this world have and will always run dry. I pray for those that are tempted by the tempter. I pray for those who are falling into temptation. I pray, God, right now they'd resist temptation and find the doorway of escape back into the river of life. I pray, Jesus, that you'd calm our hearts. I pray those that are afflicted by the sellers of black water. I pray, make us wise and make us strong and make us like Lot and his wife. Cause us to run away from the plains of compromise. I pray, Lord, that you put a new suit on every person in this room. I pray that you'd mark the day where they realize that they are actually here to be immovable, irresistible, unstoppable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because everything they do counts. I pray, put a new value system in the hearts of these people. Those that never made the promotion, those that never went to university, those who have come from a humbled background, I pray they'd realize, Lord God, this world's not about prestige, this world is about influence. And I pray they'd see themselves, whether in Smokey Joe's Cafe or whether in the head honchos of the NHS, I pray that you make people realize they're here to be an influence. And I pray, Jesus, let the salt waters be pushed back from people's hearts, God, and let that which is salty become fresh once again. Give them strength, give them energy. And I pray, let the river flow, let the river flow, let the river flow, let the river flow, let the river flow. Oh, everyone look at me, right? There's a great sense of God. If I was Jenny Gilfin, I'd start prophesying. I'm not, I'm Dave Gilpin, and I'm going to start evangelizing for 1 minute. Emily Sande wrote a song called River. Not the one flowing from our heart, but the one flowing from heaven to earth. There is a river that flows. And the name of that river, that life-giving river, is Jesus. This is what she says. She says, if you're looking for one big adventure and gold is all that's on your mind, if you just want someone to take your picture, I'm not going to waste your time. See, maybe I'm too quiet for you. You probably never noticed me. But if you're too big to follow rivers, how are you ever going to find the sea? So follow me. I'll be your river. I'll do the running for you. Follow me, I'll be your river. I'll move the mountains for you. Follow me, I'll be your river. I'm here to keep you floating. Follow me, I'll be your river, river, river. If all you want are answers to your questions, yeah, and you can't seem to find no love for free, it's conditions upon the world's love. Always. If you're looking for the right direction, then darling, follow me. See, I can make your load much lighter. I just need you to confide in me. And if you're too proud to follow rivers, how are you ever going to find the sea? I'm going to give an opportunity for people who've run from the river. People who have never been in this river to come into the river. The river is flowing very close to you right now. But through one prayer of faith, you can come into the river called Jesus. He'll move the mountains for you. He'll carry you. He'll make your load much lighter. He's the God of peace. He's the God of provision. He's the God of strength. If you would only confide in him and humble yourself and not be too proud to follow rivers, then you'll make it beyond the sea to the shores of eternity. Come on, close your eyes and bow your heads right across this auditorium. For the backsliders who are returning, for the people who have never prayed this prayer before, I want you to pray it. I'm going to pray a line at a time. Everyone else can help us out. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you are a river that flows nearby. I can hear you. I can hear you calling me to the banks of the river. I know I need to say sorry for the sins that I've committed, for the misjudgments that I've committed. And I say sorry now. I lift out my hand to you and I ask you to take me by the hand to the river of grace. Wash my sins away. Fill me with everlasting life. Quench my thirst from the waters of the river. I thank you for today, for opening my eyes and my ears to the truth that there is a river that flows from heaven above. In Jesus' name. Keep your eyes closed in the back to the front. Eternity's wrapped up in it. It's a river of eternity. Some of you think, if I was to die today, where would I go to? If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, you'd be going straight to heaven because you're in the river. God won't let you go. He won't let you go. He's a beautiful God. He's a loving God. He's forever faithful. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to get you to do one more thing with every eye closed. Is I'm going to count to three and I want you to lift up your right hand. Leave it up till all the hands are up. Don't be shy. I'm not going to embarrass you whatsoever. It's so that I can register today that there's been people who have gone from the banks into the river by faith today, just so that we can be so joyful as with heaven over every one person who repents. And so on the count of three, if you're a backslider, if you've never done this before, but you did pray that prayer sincerely from your heart, I want you to lift your hand on the count of three. Every eye closed. 3, 2, 1. Lift your right hand up and leave it up till the hand. Come on, hand. Yeah, hands are going up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up till I register it. Hands are going up around about the place. On my left hand side, other hands need to go up as well. Come on, right now. My left hand side, hands gone up, which is brilliant. Love that. In the middle, on about the fourth row down, another hand's gone up, which I love that. On my right hand side, just two-thirds of the way down, there's two beautiful people who have put their hands up. I think that's awesome. That there's four people. Behind them is another person, which is a fifth person. That's a fifth person. Is a fifth person. Is there a sixth person here that I haven't been able to pick out so far? Is there somebody else here amongst us? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Holy Spirit, lift your hands to heaven, these people. And everybody lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, let your peace fall upon their warfare. Holy Spirit, let faith crush their fears. And Holy Spirit, let righteousness, the peace of heaven, crush their condemnation. I thank you, Jesus, that they've turned the page from death to life, from salty to fresh. Father, we are excited about it. I pray, Lord, you cause them to hang around freshwater people and to read the word, the freshwater word of your Bible. I pray that every time they pray, they know that God is right there, one arm's length away from them at any time through their entire lives. We thank you today. Salvation's come to Hope City, Liverpool. And we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And we're just absolutely thrilled in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Let's give God a clap offering of praise.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.